books, they're my habit. I can't talk about reading them without mentioning shopping. I rarely borrow books or read on a tablet. I buy them as things, and I take ridiculous delight in gazing at them on my shelves. I'm in love, a hopeless case. As a result, my small house is sinking under the weight. There's no room for anything as sensible as saucepans, and navigating the stairs is an act of reckless bravery. I mostly love the words in books, but I'm often seduced by typeface or paper, illustrations, covers, the feel of a book in my hands, the smell of it. One of my earliest memories. I'm six, sitting on our old kitchen stool to unwrap a gift. It's the Harold Hare Annual. I open it, push my face into its pages, and inhale. And then I read. Reading habit number one is in the tower of unread books by the bed. Ambition always outweighs achievement. The pile is high. At the moment, it includes Olivia Lang's Crudo, Brian Blanchard's Proxies, An Interview with Shahara Shyota by Andrea Yan, Sophie Collins' Who is Mary Sue, Karen McCarthy Wolfe's Seasonal Disturbances, Emron Mayer's The Mind-Gut Connection, and Roger Deakin's Notes from Walnut Tree Farm, which is always there. I find it soothing. Habit two is in the row of books on my desk. The books change, but the row is constant. In theory, it's related to current writing projects, but most of them are future projects, being dreamt into existence by the books themselves. Habit three is binge reading, which usually starts when I stumble over a writer, new or old, fall in love and feel compelled to read everything that they've ever written. Now. It happened to me recently with Maggie Nelson, but there are plenty of others. I often fall in love. Two eternal binge-worthy giants are John Berger and Tove Jansson. They both have book shrines in corners of the crowded house. I worship at them. Habit four is the books that sometimes look like souvenirs. I think they're in part about wanting to hold a memory of, say, an exhibition or a play or writer's talk. They're also about the desire to learn more when I've been inspired. Habitually, after an event I've loved or been happily baffled by, I'll read around it for days, and then I keep what I've read. I read to understand better, to try and know more. I keep what I read because the object conjures the ghost of a person or place or time and the feeling that went with it, and I love that. If my list was hierarchical, habit one would be poetry. Poems are where I started as a reader, where we all start, I guess. Hey, diddle, diddle. They're where I started as a writer, too. I couldn't contemplate writing poems without reading them, and poetry books are not for culling. I never leave the house without one, and I reread them all the time. They change colour depending on the light. I read on the train, at my desk, on the sofa, in bed, in the bath, on the loo. I read in boring meetings. And sometimes I don't read at all, for days on end, because I can't concentrate or I'm not in the mood, or because sometimes it's enough just to know a book is there, like the door to an undiscovered land, or a match beside a candle, or like a parent downstairs.